Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacob. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. It is now 2 days after Valentine's Day, February 16th, 2022, and a few days before President's Day. So maybe like some of you have a day off next Monday. Welcome to today's show. Our good friends from AASL, the American Association of School Librarians, are here, in particular their president, Jennison Lucas, okay, all the way from Cody, Wyoming. And before you even start, Jennison, I'm thanking you right now for getting up so early. It's, it's 7 a.m., so I hope you got a cup of coffee there. We're going to have a nice show about how school libraries teach life skills to students and how we can use school libraries to do exactly that. And we're also going to touch a little bit on some of the controversies regarding book banning these days. There was a thing in Tennessee with the book Mouse and M-A-U-S, and we'll talk about all these sort of things, okay, and get through this. It's always a pleasure to have Jennison here. I'll bring her on in just a second. We're going to archive the show at ace-ed.org. That's our home website for equity and access. We're all about that. It's our consortium for equity. Our magazine, which is an online journal, is called Equity and Access, and you can go over there and you'll see the big cover up on site. Just click through and read some great articles. We have some great stuff scrolling on there. We have all our podcasts over there and a link to our social emotional learning website, which is called SEL Today at seltoday.org. So please check all that out, okay? And by the way, SEL Day, there is one. We did a show yesterday. It's March 11th. You might want to check out. You can just Google SEL Day about that, all right? All good stuff. And we've got Jennison here, and I got to ask her, it's in Wyoming, spinning here. There she goes. Jennison, good morning. It's Larry. Thanks for getting up so early.
Good morning, Larry. It's always a pleasure to meet with you.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you here. And how's the weather in beautiful Cody, Wyoming?
Today we're a little bit snowy, but it's been really nice this winter, so can't complain too much.
No, you can. It's such a pretty town. I hope people take a minute to Google it and look at the pictures and all that. I did that. It's really just a cool place. And far from here, not a lot of people get to Cody, not enough. You know, it's a faraway place, at least from my point of view, and I just think it's really cool, okay, that you're there. And you, I do, and I imagine you in your cowgirl outfit going to, now, you're not a librarian wearing sensible shoes, okay, with your hair tied back in a bun, going shush. You ride a cattle to work with a cowboy outfit on and a cowboy hat going yeehaw. Would that be correct? Is that the stereotyping, is it?
No, that's definitely stereotyping.
Yeah, okay.
For Wyoming. But I do wear sensible shoes and have my hair in a ponytail today.
There you go. Okay, close enough. Good enough. But you don't go shush to everybody when they come in.
No, my libraries are noisy.
I hope so. I have a feeling. And by the way, besides in her spare time being the president of AASL, the American Association of School Librarians, she's also the school librarian in the Park County School District in Cody. And just tell everybody what that is, because I think it's a pretty good-sized school district, right?
Well, we have about 2,000 students in our school district in K-12. We have seven different school buildings, two of which are very rural schools. We've got one-room schoolhouse and one two-room schoolhouse.
Wow, that's what I meant. Yeah, it's cool. Well, when you have a one-room schoolhouse, what grades are in there?
It's K-5, but this year I think they have second and fourth.
And is it one teacher or is it more than one teacher over there?
It's one teacher and four students.
Wow. Bless your school district's heart for doing that for those kids. And how far, I just have to ask, how far away are they from, let's say, downtown Cody, Wyoming?
It's about 40 miles, which on that road takes close to an hour.
Yeah, and I imagine it's snowy and icy some parts of the year. It's got to be tough.
Yeah.
It's got to be tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great.
And that's just a long bus ride.
Right. Again, it's terrible. You can't put the kids through that. There's no point. Okay. I think this was Wyoming. Was it Wyoming? I think it was. I just saw a PBS show. I didn't even know this happened. The Great Blizzard of 1949 in Wyoming. Do you know about that?
I don't, actually. I wasn't here for that.
I know that. Okay. This was a pretty cool show.
And
it was
I did not
PBS.
Get that PBS show.
Right. It's a PBS show. If anybody gets a chance to watch it, there were weather forecasting wasn't that great in 1949, and this blizzard came in, unknown to everybody. It snowed for 3 days, all right? And the wind was like 90 miles an hour, and nobody expected this. And every road in the state, certainly in the rural part, southeast part of the state, was completely under snow. I'm talking 25-foot drifts. All right, mm-hmm. They had to call in the National Guard. Some people died. Some animals were literally frozen to death where they stood because people couldn't get to them. It's an amazing story. I never even knew that happened. That was in Wyoming. Check it out. Check it out, Madam Librarian. Marion the Librarian, check it out. Yeah. The Blizzard of 49, it's a Wyoming thing. Okay, really scary stuff. So there you go. Aren't you glad you called in?
Yeah, a thing to learn about.
Yeah, there's probably a book on it somewhere. Okay, I want to talk to you, okay, about, you wanted to talk about this, and this is really cool. How libraries, all right, help learners become lifelong learners. How you teach students life skills. And, you know, you probably heard me say at the beginning of the show, we do a lot of work in SEL, social-emotional learning. And if you just break down SEL to its bare minimum, that's what it's supposed to do, is teach life skills. All right? Mm-hmm. You know, academics are incredibly important, et cetera. And this was a great topic, I thought, because you know how much I love school libraries. You know, I know all school librarians go to heaven. You do know that, Jennison, right? All school librarians go to heaven. They do. Okay, cowgirl outfit and all, they all go to heaven. Okay? And, you know, it's important that we use and understand the library for this, because schools, that's the number one priority of schools this year across the country, is SEL. And how the library fits in, to me, is incredibly important. So just talk about, take that as a generic topic. What are the skills that you see the kids need, and how do you go about helping them in the libraries? And again, the president of AASL, everybody, Janice and Lucas. Yeah.
Thanks, Larry.
You're welcome.
This is a passion thing for me, that it's the library is the place that they can put everything else that they're learning together. So,
It's
important to learn their content, but we tend to teach them all in isolation. So they have their language arts classes, and they have their social studies, and they have their science. And all of those in reality blend. So when they come to the library, we get a chance to teach them the processes of how to learn, how to do research, how to tie those topics together. And those are those life skills that it doesn't matter how much we can try to teach them in school, they're always going to be something else they need to learn once they leave. So we teach those processes of how do I continue learning? How do I find out what I wasn't taught? How do I learn? How do I add that to my base of knowledge? And the more that we've gotten involved the more that people in general have become involved in the digital world, has become part of libraries as well, that it's about information, not about the books. So it's how do we look at this information? How do we decide that it's credible? How do we separate fact from opinion when everybody's opinions are presented as fact? How do we wade through misinformation and disinformation and malinformation and figure out what's actually going on, and how do we form those opinions of for ourselves? And then we tie that into that SEL, because this is also, school libraries tend to be a safe space for students to explore whatever they want. And so it's a space for them to dive into other people's lives, to explore that, to understand how to connect with other people. Literature does a lot of showing us how society should work and how we interact with other people, and really using those tools for bibliotherapy. You know, whatever happens to you, you're probably not the only one. Other people are going through the same thing you are. Here's a way to connect. And so I see the libraries as a space of connections, as
yep.
a space, a
safe
space to explore, and the place that we can tie everything together so that they're ready to move on to whatever it is that comes after school. And I know in the stuff I sent you, I was, you know, we talk a lot about career and college readiness, but
yep.
we still in a lot of schools focus on the college, on the career after college. And so it's like you still have 4 more years to get some of this figured out, but most of our kids don't. You know, they're going to buy a car or rent a house or something
yeah.
before they finish. So
yep.
they need to do some research on their own.
That's fun. That's cool. You use the word. I like this word. I want you to describe it a little better. Bibliotherapy. Talk about that word. I love that word.
Yeah. Bibliotherapy, I love that word too because I like to say
yeah.
it. But it's really about finding yourself in books and seeing how
wow.
other people have gone through and dealt with some of
wow.
the same situations that you do, and finding the words that you need to maybe talk to another human being about whatever it is that is weighing on your heart. So it's that looking for connections that you might not see. I mean, Cody is still a relatively small community of about 10,000
yeah.
people. And sometimes, you know, kids don't necessarily know how to talk about certain things with other people, and finding those in a book. And then that book can be a buffer if they're not really quite ready to say this was me yet. It can be a, can I talk about this character? And, you know, kind of get some of that feedback that they need and to be able to really embrace who they are and whatever the situation is that they're going through and find a solution.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting you say that. I, too, live in a rural area. My little town of Cornish here in Maine is about, I think, like 1,300 people, all right? And
mm-hmm.
we're 45 minutes from Portland, okay? And our school district, you know, is a regional school district. But, you know, it's still pretty rural, all right? And the kids
mm-hmm.
don't have a lot of contact, certainly with major cities, and certainly with a lot of diversity. This is a pretty, if I may, white area, all right? And
yep.
just for rural Maine, all right? And there just aren't a lot of, not a lot of diverse peoples out here, people of color, et cetera, if any, all right? But these kids,
yep.
like kids in Cody and kids everywhere, are not necessarily going to stay here. A lot of them will, but a lot of them are going to move on, all right? And it's if you're not familiar with a diverse world, and understand the complicated problems of being an adult, you're going to have a lot of challenges. And I love this bibliotherapy in terms of using the library and all the books in it to teach
mm-hmm.
how to live a better life and a more successful one, I might add. And I'm curious, Jennison, as you explain that to us, do the teachers that you work with, who I'm sure are wonderful, okay, understand the power of the library and all this? Another way to ask it is, do the administrators understand the power of the library and all this? And we could, if you want, you can extrapolate that out as president of AASL to the whole country. Because
mm-hmm.
the first thing that always goes, okay, one of the first things is the library budget. It's so ridiculous. All right?
Yes.
And, and that's because people don't understand the importance and the power of it, especially in this digital age where information is constantly flowing
mm-hmm.
and changing. Okay? And by the way, that's a great philosophical question. If you can answer that, you will get a Nobel Prize. Okay? So please, go ahead and answer it. Be my guest. It's great. It's all on your
yeah.
shoulders now, Madam President. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the statistic is something like 97% of what administrators understand about a school library is what they learned from their school librarian. It's not
yeah.
something that they're taught in when they go to school for their admin degree. And so administrators across the country have differing ideas because they have different librarians.
Sure.
And
sure.
I'm very fortunate that I have administrators that at least support me, even if I'm still working on getting them to support the concept of
mm-hmm.
libraries. And I have a school board that supports me and my library
good.
Programs.
Good.
So That's really good. But I know I'm friends with people around the country, and I know that sometimes that's a little bit more difficult because we have administrators who grew up and didn't use the library or maybe didn't have a school library, and their conception of what a librarian is somebody who checks books in and out. And they don't necessarily see all of the things that could come with it if you have a really strong certified librarian running those libraries. And so it takes a lot of out loud advocacy. My website that I created for myself was called School Library Out Loud because I'm like, we have to be
the shutters. Market that.
We have to be the get out and talk about it and tell people what's in our libraries. I have supportive staff. We have across the country, there's a lot of teachers that get it. But when it comes up to advocating, it's a little bit difficult because it always feels like a you or me situation. So it's like, I don't really want to stand up for your program if they might cut mine. It becomes a little bit difficult when you work with the smaller budget things. But it's also interesting that you mentioned the idea that our libraries have power. Because I think that's one of the reasons that our libraries are currently under attack across the country. Libraries have power. We have material and knowledge and information that has the power to broaden minds, and it has the power to change thinking, because books are powerful. Information is powerful. And I think that that's one of the things that we see behind the book bannings and things like that, that we are wanting to control the information. And so
I agree with everything you just said. And I think the misnomer, not in what you said, but in people's perception, is that, quote, you want to control the information. No, you want to teach children how to use the information and understand where the information is coming from and make the right decisions based on correct information. Okay?
Exactly.
And I don't think people, well, I shouldn't say that. That's too generic. I don't think some people actually perceive that. Okay? Obviously not everyone.
Right.
But it's just, are the school librarians and all the things you just said, you know, I never had this happen to me once when I was teaching, where the school librarian hands out a sheet at the beginning of the year. It says, here's what we can do for you. You know, it's interesting. Teachers are always looking for help. They're always looking to get new apps and buy new curriculum and all that sort of stuff. But a lot of it's already there, okay? And they don't tap in to what's already there in the library and the expertise in the librarian, all right? And are the librarians doing enough to get their word out to both educators and also school boards, which is key? We'll talk about that in a second.
We are doing the best that we can for that. There's a lot of places. I personally haven't put out like a sheet or anything because at the beginning of the year, I have learned that that's something that gets lost.
Put it out 2 weeks later.
I do a lot more of weekly email kind of things and just word of mouth. Hey, what are you doing this week? What's coming up?
Oh, cool.
Talk to
good.
Me about that. And little by little, I'm having people that I have reached out to come and bring me into the things that they're doing. Like I have a social studies teacher that was just teaching about the progressive era and brought me, he was doing some play acting kind of things to get kids to recognize who the people were. And so he brought me in to do one of the acting things. And so that was it was like five minutes, but it was me in their classroom and them seeing me outside of my library space. And that's
important.
And
it is important
with the kids, and so that was fun. And a lot of people, I think a lot of librarians do those things. It's hard to get into everybody's room, so it's a target those people that you see the most and then try to spread the, hey, you know, this cool thing that happened between us in the, you know, social studies in the library. We could do that with English. We could do that with science.
That's right. And you are the central place. And you are the central place of information. You said it before. It's where everything comes together. And a lot of teachers don't realize that. And I think one of the challenges of that, we're going to get into other stuff too in a second, is that I went through teacher's college. This is many, many years ago. There were only 6 books in the world. I was so young. It was like the library in Cairo, Alexandria. Okay, but there were only 6 books written. But since then, there's been a lot more. And, you know, I don't think education schools, when they're training teachers, teach them how to use and understand what the power of the library. Okay? And that's a mistake.
I agree.
That's a mistake. Mm-hmm. Okay? And how to teach. Okay? And again, I'll say it, teachers are always looking for help. And they've got a great resource and not enough tap into it. And that's, of course, the library, the librarian and all the people you represent. And you've been touching on this. I don't want to dance around it anymore. Let's talk about censorship. Okay, and I'll use the current example that was in the news 2 weeks ago. There's a graphic novel called Mouse. You know about this one, right?
Jennifer? I do.
Yeah, M-A-U-S. Yeah, and it's about Nazis. They use, instead of mice, instead of not picturing Nazis, it's a graphic novel, they use mice. Okay, it's pretty graphic. It's a graphic novel, but it's pretty graphic. And it's about bigotry and the Holocaust and all that sort of thing. And a school board in Tennessee, this is interesting, decided that they didn't want that in their library, okay? Their rationale was that it was, quote, too graphic for kids. But a lot of people say, no, that's not the reason. It has to, they don't want kids exposed to, quote, the Holocaust, because that will make the kid, if I just could paraphrase here, feel bad about any bigotry or whatever they might have. It's a difficult question, all right? It really is. I don't like censorship at all. But then again, do school boards have the power to regulate what's in a library? And I'll let you go with that. It's difficult. It's not as black and white as we like to think it is. And I hate censorship. I don't like it at all. Okay.
Right.
But it is a school library is different from a public library is different from a home library. And just talk about that from your point of view. I'm just trying to figure it out myself. Go ahead, Jennifer.
Yeah.
Talk about this.
I don't like censorship either. I think that we should have equal access to any kind of information. And we get to decide as we read it how that fits into the worldview. And we should be challenged by certain books. There are definitely ideas that are out there that we should explore, even if they make us uncomfortable.
Yeah, and, of course.
And really reading, and I think in Tennessee it might have been part of their curriculum that's part of what they were removing it from.
There you go.
Is assigning it.
Thank you.
And there is
Thank
a
you.
Difference between books that you assign to students
yep.
and the ones that they can explore on their own in the library. Because
yep.
when you have... I explained it to a teacher here the other day as a captive audience that, you know, I'm not saying they have to check out anything in here, but if you hand them a book and say you're going to get graded on your response, it's a little bit different of a situation. But I was a little disturbed by the things that I saw about Mouse in particularly, just in my own opinion, because they're talking about like a few instances of bad language. And one picture that they were very much objecting to of the mouse being naked. And that particular picture is of a mouse that committed suicide. And I'm a little I'm concerned that we're more worried that she was naked than that she committed suicide.
Yeah.
Personally.
Yeah.
One of those things is more disturbing for me than the other.
Yeah.
And I know that this is a hard topic. I know the Holocaust is a hard topic.
It is.
And the books, I read an article that was very interesting to me about, and I can't remember where I read the article now, but they talked about what books they would rather teach instead of mouse. So we want to remove this book that is very much about the Jewish experience, and you really, when you read this book, you have to struggle with that human experience of
right.
what it must have been like for them. And it wasn't good. There's no sugarcoating in mouse. And they want to replace that with things like The Diary of Anne Frank and, you know, maybe Schindler's List, but the
mm-hmm.
focus of those two books, especially when they're taught, tends to be more about the white Gentile saviors instead of the actual Jewish struggle.
I see what you're saying. Yep.
And
it kind of avoids the basic subject, the actual
exactly.
horror of what was going on. Did they remove that book from their school library, or did they remove it from the curriculum? Jennison, did you hear me?
Pardon me?
Did they remove the book from their library or from their curriculum, or both?
I think it might have been both, but I can't remember right now which way I read that.
And all right,
but
across
the country, it's a little of both that we're looking
yeah,
at.
Yeah, and so let me ask, and just you have a great school board. I'm just using them as an example, okay? And they're great either way. All right. But my question is, does the school board have the power, certainly, but does it have the
mm-hmm.
the ethical right to do that? Okay? And I
mm-hmm.
believe that's a pretty difficult question. I really do. It's not as, you know, we can look at the news from a liberal or conservative viewpoint and pretend there's no opposite point. But there is an opposite point. Okay?
Yeah.
And yeah, well, so what's your feeling on that? It just says, do school boards have the right to do that, or what do you think?
It's interesting that you ask that as an ethical right, because
school boards
are charged with overseeing all of the instructional materials in a school district, and technically the books in the library are part of that instruction, or at least should be.
Mm-hmm.
So usually in board policies, there is a school board having the final say in what gets to be added, especially by curriculum, but school library stuff also falls under that. So a lot of our selection and reconsideration policies will have a process in which obviously some of that information and some of those tasks are going to be delegated to the people in the school district, like the
mm-hmm.
librarians are the ones going to purchase the books. It's not going to be individual board members who add that to their place. But then when it comes to reconsidering, if a parent is asking, or a community member is asking for us to remove a material from the library or from the curriculum, there's a process for reconsidering that material that
mm-hmm.
starts with discussing things with the librarian. It usually involves a form to fill out saying that they've read the book in their entirety and these are the things that they specifically object to. And ours also has a thing of, if we moved this one, what similar book would you think would be better?
Mm-hmm. Well, quite
then
a process.
Goes to a committee, and then the school board can, but depending on what their policy is, that committee might end up being the school board. And
have you ever
in
gone
our
through
district,
that?
We said
oh, I'm sorry.
Different.
I'm sorry.
I've gone through that several
times. Well, can you give an example of not certainly nobody's names, but the book that was thought of?
It's been interesting in our district because we had a challenge 5 years ago in which they realized the book was called A Bad Boy Can Be Good for a Girl by Tanya Lee Stone. And the committee, as they were redoing that, realized that there was nothing in our policy about it being a library book. The policy about library books had been removed because they, trying to make things simpler, thought that that could all be covered by our instructional materials policy, which is specific if this book was assigned in class. And so they were like, we wouldn't want this assigned in class, but it's a library book, and you don't have to read library books. And so our committee chose to keep the book, but then our school board overturned that and said, you know, no, we don't think this book is okay. And so that book actually was banned in our school. Then the next year, we had three more challenges. And that was the year that I started in the school district, was when we got the three more challenges. And that waited, we put, the school board decided to wait on that until we rewrote the library policy. And so first thing I did as I came into this position was actually work with the school board to write a selection policy for the library,
cool.
consideration policy, so that it includes what to do with library books. And then, and we put in there that they should ask the librarian for some information about why the book was chosen for the library. And
mm-hmm.
And that can be difficult if you weren't the librarian here when the book was purchased. You have to do a little bit of digging into why that book was here. But we did go through that that challenge process, and our committee decided to keep Two Boys Kissing by David Levithan and The Wizard's Apprentice by Herbie Brennan. And then the third one, and those were both challenged by the same person. And then we had another person who challenged the Holy Bible. And we kept that one.
Oh, how interesting. How interesting.
And so, and what I did was to go in and say, okay, here's the book, and here's our selection criteria by board policy. Here is how each of these books fits our selection criteria. And then that kind of removed emotion of everything out of it, and it was a, do these books fit our selection criteria?
And you know, I have to ask this question, okay? Yeah. When people look at Tennessee, they're assuming that the people in the school board, in what, I can't remember what town it was, are doing this from a very conservative point of view, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I have to say that I assume that, okay? I don't mm-hmm. know these people at all, but I made that assumption, all right? But my question is, and this is the important part of all this, okay? Complaints come from both liberal and conservative, if I understood you correctly. And I think that's an important thing to remember, that we're not just, you can't just hold in your mind, oh, conservative people are doing this. No, it comes from the liberal side, too. And we have to be careful of both sides. Certainly a conservative person would not want the Bible to be censored out of a library. That's absurd.
Exactly.
Okay?
Right.
I mean, no, actually, nobody, I can't imagine, I'm not conservative, I wouldn't want that either, okay, by any standard, all right? And it's just so amazing, and that's the balance that we have to keep in mind, okay? And what your examples were, your examples were terrific, one about two gay people and the other the Holy Bible. I mean, it's just amazing. Mm-hmm. Just amazing.
Well, it is, okay. It's the thing that, most of the time in the past, our challenges have come from concerned parents who
mm-hmm.
are like, you know, I'm just not sure that this book is really appropriate.
Yeah,
or it
I
comes
get it.
From,
yeah.
I don't know that this is appropriate at this grade level. And I think some of that is that there's not an understanding of how the selection process really works or what kind of training librarians have in choosing those books. And
yep.
the more that we moved away from having certified librarians, the more likely it is that the books
Thank
in our
you.
Library are purchased
Thank you.
From bestseller lists as opposed to an actual, let me look and see where it fits and if it fits our community. And there's a lot of pieces in that puzzle. What's been happening in the last year or so is that we've started to see an uptick in organized, very politicized groups coming forward to challenge the books.
Mm-hmm.
And they are coming with the information from what is on websites, things that have been disseminated in packets from
yes.
these organizations. And they're skipping past the whole process that most school districts have that policy of reconsideration in place. They're skipping past that and going straight to yelling at the school board members.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
School board members,
terrible.
Because they don't need that. Most of them are volunteers, and it's like,
yeah,
hey.
And they do a great job. They do a great job, and that's what people do not. They
exactly.
just – it's this incredible anger that's brought on by the media and bad websites and all that. And people have a right to complain, but they have to do it in a logical and a careful and proper manner. That's all there is. We got to go. Exactly. I love talking to you. I love talking to you, Madam Cowgirl. This is great out in Cody, Wyoming. Okay. I love
it.
All right. So what do you do for lunch? Is school lunch always like a big steak from a piece of cattle? Is that what it always is?
Oh, no.
Like a big steak?
I actually don't know what school is. I packed mine.
That's funny. I'm only kidding. It's a beautiful place. It's a beautiful place. You got great people out there, and they're lucky to have you, I got to tell you. So is AASL. Thanks, Janice, and we'll do more, I promise. I love talking to you.
Thank you, Larry. I appreciate the time.
Oh, take care. Enjoy your day. Stay warm in the snow, okay? We'll talk to you later. Okay? Bye.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye. Janice and Lucas, everybody. I love talking to her. She's the AASL, American Association of School Librarians, president, okay, through 2022, kind of, okay? And she's also the district librarian in Park County School District in Cody, Wyoming, which is a beautiful place. All right, so you can check that all out over at AASL, et cetera. We'll archive at ace-ed.org. And don't forget, we have seltoday.org, and the libraries fit right into that. I'm Larry Jacobs. Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening, and have a great day.